Why don't you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We've got suspicions about who it possibly could be. That's some good arguments for either case. Or it was some brother that's just unnamed that will meet in glory. Nevertheless, the book of Hebrews is a blessed book unto us. So many things that are conveyed to us in this book. A book originally written to the Jews that I believe that were saved, but they had problems with the onslaught of Judaism coming at them. I wonder about that. The case in the book of Hebrews is that Christ is preeminent. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all things of the law, ceremonial and sacrificial, and the keeping of the law for his people, but the ceremonial and the sacrificial is dealt with in the greatest part, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would not understand that if it were not for the book of Hebrews. And so, a wonderful, wonderful book. In chapter 12, we're coming to this chapter after having such a great cloud of witnesses there at hand all through the Scriptures and how that they please the Lord by their faith in the Lord, their confidence in the Lord, what the Lord had commanded them, what the Lord had promised them, and they going forward in faith in the Lord and what he had said. And so this cloud of witnesses was referred to here, and then he speaks in this about chastening, that chastening is such for the children of God. He trains us, he teaches us, he corrects us. And in the latter part of the chapter, he's beginning to come and wrap up the book in chapter 13. And he mentions this about what we have been called into. We've not been as the Jews were there at Mount Sinai and all that fearfulness and quaking, as we'll read that. But we are called to something more blessed and greater and of great comfort and peace and blessing indeed. And he says that we read in verse 18 of chapter 12, "For you're not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." Because when they heard the voice of God, they said, "Oh, Moses, don't let God speak to us and don't have God speak to us anymore. You hear what God says and then you tell us and we'll do it. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain," this was the situation there on Sinai, "it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. If anything came past the boundary, it was to die. And so terrible was the sight there on Mount Sinai that Moses said, 'I exceedingly fear and quake.'" He was the man called by God. "But ye," he said, that's not the case with us. Here in the New Testament, after the coming of our Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension to the glory on high at the right hand of the Father, the age and the way of the church and what the Lord has left here, and that's not what we have. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." And this book tells us in the beginning that the angels are ministering spirits unto the saints. Okay. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn." That's what we've been brought into. "Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." And don't miss Sunday school, because when Brother Stephen, if he ever comes back, he's going to continue on in his study on the covenants. And so that we might have understanding and refreshing and maybe new learning about that. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the New Testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel," of animal sacrifice. Here's what we want to focus on this morning. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. There's one that speaks. The Word. He speaks His Word. We have it here in the Scripture. We have so many examples of it in the Scripture and accounts of it in the Scripture. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, that's at Mount Sinai, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The inspiration of the Gospels and the epistles to the churches and the prophecy that we have in the New Testament. Of course, the Lord has spoken all of the Bible, but they didn't escape from the one that they refused that spake on earth. Much more shall we not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then at Sinai shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. If it can shake, it's going to be taken away. As of things that are made, that which is created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So there's a contrast here of things that can be shaken, they're going to be taken away. But those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, it can't be shaken at the shaking of the Lord, let us have grace, let us have the gifts of God and His abundant outpouring upon us, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is yet, if you'll allow me, a consuming fire. He was a consuming fire on Sinai, as we'll see, and He is yet a consuming fire. But we're not called to that of Sinai. We're called into a blessedness of peace, salvation, the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a call in His churches to be a witness of Him. You didn't have to come here today with all your lambs and goats and turtle doves and all that stuff and wait in line for it all to be sacrificed. We came today to give the praise of our voice, our hearts poured out to God in thanksgiving, the reading and the preaching of His Word, the teaching of His Word. We've been brought into that with a wonderful, wonderful message that Jesus Christ came to save sinners and that we, the redeemed, are to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're redeemed, praise the Lord. Have you ever wondered about earthquakes and the enormous power that is released when one takes place, an earthquake? The prophecies revealed in the Bible say that there will be more and more earthquakes towards the end of the world and the end of time. Have you ever wondered what or who is behind the earthquakes? Well, let's read in Mark chapter 13. The Lord Jesus tells about this in the Gospels. In Mark 13, we'll take a look at this declaration of our Lord. In verse number 5, we'll pick it up here. Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There'll be many that will go after those. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in different places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. So here the Lord says that there's going to be earthquakes towards the end of the age, towards the end of this age in which we live. There's going to be wars and nations rising against nations. There's going to be a scarcity of food. plague that goes along with that, troubles. And that's the beginning of sorrows. The scripture says also in Psalm, the psalmist writes in Psalm 60, verse 2, "Thou, God, hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh." See these earthquakes in diverse places? There is one that is behind those. It's not just a happenstance that the earth is groaning under the sin that has that exists and has been brought to earth by Satan and has been pursued by mankind. The psalmist declares in Psalm 114, verses 7 and 8, "Tremble thou, earth, at the presence of the Lord and at the presence of the God of Jacob." When the Lord comes near, the earth trembles. You know, and the earth is not a person. The earth doesn't have feelings like a person does, or even as an animal does. But the greatness and power of the Lord is when the Lord draws near and touches, the earth trembles. The earth shakes. At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, the earth trembles, which turned the rock into a standing water. That happened at Sinai. Hit the rock, Moses. Strike the rock. It came forth a gusher out of there to water so many millions of the Israelites. The flint into a mountain of waters. See, it is the Lord. He is the one that is behind the quaking of the earth. It is His power that is exhibited in such. More specifically, it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we studied here in our study in the book of Colossians, we find out that in the book of Genesis, it says there, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But in Colossians, it's opened up unto us to understand that all things were created by Him, for Him, speaking of Jesus, and without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Okay, so it is our Lord. He is the mediator between God and man. So in our passage here in Hebrews 12, we see here where the writer tells us, the Lord tells us through Him, don't turn away from Him that speaks from heaven, because He shook the earth when He spoke from the earth, and those that refused Him did not escape. And so there's a past tense shaking of the earth. But He also says in that passage, yet once more, declares that the Lord says it, yes, once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. So there's two tenses or two times. There's the shaking of the Lord of the earth in the past. There's the shaking of the Lord of the earth by the earth by the Lord to come. And what's He say there? Don't refuse Him. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. And so our passage tells us of two different times that the Lord has and will shake the earth, past and in the future. And so we want to take a look at those here in the scripture this morning. The Lord's shaking, the Lord Jesus shaking of the earth in the past. In Exodus chapter 19, we see about that here, and it's referred to by this passage in Hebrews. Here in Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel, that second generation, is at Sinai. And we see here some details about that. In the third month, verse number 1 of Exodus 19, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Moses went up to God. The Lord called him out of the mountain, and then He gave him instruction. He caused them to remember, and you've seen what I've done to the Egyptians and how I carried you out on eagle's wings. Obey Me. Keep My covenant that I have made with you and will make with you. Be unto Me a kingdom of priests, verse 6, and a holy nation. Holiness is what I expect. Moses calls in verse 7 for the elders of the people to come and and hear the words that the Lord said. And they make a commitment that all the Lord has said that they will do. And the Moses carries that back to the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud, and I'm going to cause the people to hear when I speak with you. And he says, set the people apart in verse number 10. Be ready against the third day to meet with me, the entire host, the elders, forefront, and all the people. And set bounds, verse 12, around the mount, as we read over there in Hebrews. But don't go too close. Don't cross the boundary. Don't touch it. Because anyone that does, or any animal that's done, will be stoned or is to be shot through. In verse number 13, those that cross over the boundary will not live. And when the trumpet sounds, they're going to be tempted to come there. So he tells the people, Moses does, and he says, you be ready in 3 days and sanctify yourselves and be ready that morning. In verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. It just started and just continued on, the heralding of that trumpet, so that all the people in the camp trembled. It was a fearful thing. That's what we read that Moses said. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly, because the Lord came down. And the holiness of the Lord purged away the sinful touch and the sinfulness of that mount, and it was all on a smoke at the holiness of God, and he shook the earth. Just his presence on the earth does that. He came down, and he called Moses up there, and he says, charge the people that they don't break through, they don't try to get close to gaze on me. And he's coming near, and they say that they won't go. And then the Lord told Moses to get down, because the people are just drawn to that. And so Moses goes down to the people, and then God begins to speak. And what did he speak? He spoke the Ten Commandments. The entire nation heard the Lord telling Moses the Ten Commandments there in that day. And so we come here in chapter 20 towards the end. And in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking when the people saw it. And they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Moses looks to encourage him. He says, don't fear. God's come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. But the people, they just stood afar off. They couldn't handle it. And so Moses drew near where God was, and was in that sense their mediator between God and them. In verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make gods of gold. An altar of earth shall ye make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and peace offerings, and so on. So God met with them that day, and that mount shook because of it. Aren't you glad that we can come to worship today and the church house isn't on a smoke and isn't on a fire? That the ground here at our building where we meet with the Lord, we meet together to meet with the Lord, to worship Him as the church has determined, that it's not full of smoke and that this place is quivering and trembling. That's not what's been given to us. We can come here without fear. We can come here in peace. But that's what the Lord did with them. And there he shook the earth. There's another occasion where the Lord Jesus has shook the earth in the past, and we see that over in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, the shaking of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 27, we pick it up in verse number 33, Matthew 27, 33. And when they were gone into the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar, Jesus vinegar, to drink, mingled with gall, a sedative. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, from noon to 3 p.m. or so. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And what he cried was, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake. And the rocks tore. They rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." That day, the Lord Jesus Christ, he shook the earth again. At his death, at the completion of his payment for sin, at the completion of that part of the gospel of his suffering and his payment for sins, the sins of his people on the cross of Calvary, he shook the earth. Don't refuse him that speaketh. Tell you what, he shakes the earth at great, great, awesome, awful events. Not saying that the work of the Lord is awful, but it is terrific and terrible for men to behold. Well, you wonder, you know, the Jews in the city there and the elders and that, the darkness and then the shaking of the earth when he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he gave up the ghost. There's also in this that's revealed that the Lord shakes the earth again. In verse number 1 of chapter 28 here across the page. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that is Sunday morning, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher where they had laid the Lord. And behold, there was a great earthquake early that morning. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and the angel sat upon the stone. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Those Roman guards, those Roman soldiers that were to watch over the grave to where the disciples wouldn't come and steal the Lord's body, they said. They became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified, for he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. At the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the earth shook again. At the opening of the tomb, at the descending of the angel, the Lord Jesus raising from the dead shook the earth. And what is it that we read over here in chapter 27? Verse number 52 of chapter 27, and the graves were opened at his resurrection, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. See, Brother Matthew, when he's writing chapter 27, he's so excited, he's getting ahead of himself. Okay? And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. He shook the earth when he died. He shook the earth when he rose from the dead. See that we don't refuse to hear him. And so here we see the shaking of the earth in the past, as it says there in Hebrews. See, ye refuse him not that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, as we have seen, but now hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. We've seen that of the past. Now we're looking towards the future. The Lord Jesus will shake the earth in the future. And this shaking is indeed most, most significant. In Revelation chapter 5, in Revelation chapter 5, we see here pictured before us, and this is an actual event that has or will take place in heaven. There is a book, the seven-sealed book of the judgment of God Almighty upon the earth, upon Satan, upon the unholy Trinity, upon the unrepentant, the unbelieving, the wicked nations and their leaders of the earth. This book cannot be looked on by man. This book cannot be touched by man. This book cannot be looked into by anyone in heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother John, when he heard the news about how that book cannot be dealt with at all, cannot be taken from the hand of the Father, it says in verse number 4 that he wept much because of that. No man was found worthy to open and to read that book, that seven-sealed book written within and without of the judgment of the Lord. But one of the elders in Revelation 5:5 came and saith unto him, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so here we see about the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. He takes the book from the Father, and he is there and able to take the book and to open the seals of it. And all worship him, the four beasts, the 20 elders. They fall down before him. There's music from harps and incense from the vials of odors and prayers of the saints. A new song is sung there in glory in verse number 9, saying that he is worthy to take the book. He's worthy to open the seals of the book. Why? Because he was slain and he's redeemed his people to God by his blood out of every kindred, every tongue and people and nation. He is worthy to open that book. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. He is the man that will set all things right. And he has that book of judgment. Verse 14, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. So we see that he has this book. In Revelation chapter 6, we see that the Lamb opens one of the seals, and we see there a white horse of a conqueror coming. Conqueror amongst men. Don't misunderstand, this is not the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wicked way of man revealed. Man wants to conquer mankind, and it brings nothing but death and destruction. We see that he opens up the second seal in verse number 3. And there's a horse that's red there to take away peace from the earth. That's what sin and iniquity, Satan, and the depravity of man does. Men are killing one another, and he's a slayer of men. The Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, opens the third seal in verse number 5. And he saw there a black horse representing scarcity and famine and a scarcity of food at hand. And then we see in verse number 7 that the Lamb is able to open the fourth seal. And what's seen there is a pale horse. Riding on him was death, and the grave, hell, followed with him. And this is just what I believe is what's being typified, what's being shown here is just the natural course and wickedness of man, the lack of meekness of mankind, and the death and destruction that it brings, that man brings to himself. This is the way of man. This is the other way that is nothing but self-destructive. And it goes on to say here that he opens the fifth seal. And he saw about the souls that were martyred for the sake of Christ. And they're begging him, how long is it going to be before you avenge our death? And then we come to verse number 12. And beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The judgment of the Lord is being poured out. Things are being revealed about the wickedness of man. It's all going to be brought to a head. There's not going to be anything hidden. There's not going to be anything cloaked anymore. It's all going to be brought out. And the righteousness of the Lord is going to judge righteously and in power. And when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. They weren't in the same place that they used to be. Every mountain on the earth, every island on the earth, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freedman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? We see that future shaking of the Lord has to do with the judgment of all the wicked and all of sin and depravity and Satan himself. We see here the future time in chapter 8. We read in verses number 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, that is the Lamb, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So from the seventh seal, we have seven trumpets that are brought forth. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne of God in heaven. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. They're there with their trumpet, waiting for the cue from the Lord for them to sound their trumpet. Yet another shaking at the seventh seal on the book of God's judgment, his holy and righteous judgment of sin, the world, the nations, Satan, and his unholy Trinity. Again, see that you refuse him not that speaketh. The Lord's speaking. The Lord's warning in advance of this coming judgment. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, that was at Sinai, as fearful as that is, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. We see in Revelation chapter 8, we see here when the Lord Jesus calls to heaven as two witnesses after the completion of the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe. In verse number 13 of this book, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. See, four of the seven that are from the seal, seventh seal, have sounded, and these three woes remain. We come to chapter 11 here. And in this, John is given to measure the temple of God and the court and so on. And he says about his two witnesses here, I will give power, verse 3, to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are going to be witnesses to the nation of Israel. They're going to be witnesses unto the world. He said, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, the God of the earth, and in his throne and in heaven. They will have incredible power. They will be able to stand and testify. Any that comes against them with anything will be destroyed. And when they finish their testimony in verse number 7, the beast, the man of sin, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. The world system will be against them, and they will be killed. And it says, it says here that they'll lay in the street in Jerusalem, okay, that great city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified in verse number 8. Everybody will be happy about that and on everything. And then we read this in chapter 11, verse 12. And they heard a great voice, the two witnesses did, from heaven, saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The Lord brought them to life and caused them to stand on their feet. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. Another one. Another shaking of the earth. This is yet... See, look. God, the Lord Jesus, has sent two witnesses to tell the truth. He has caused them, these prophets, these witnesses, to stand with incredible power against any that would attack them on the earth. And they are testifying of the truth. And then the Lord allows them to be killed. And then they lay there because nobody wants to see them buried. The wicked of the earth rejoice over them. And then the Lord calls them back to heaven. And we see this. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city, that is Jerusalem, fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000 in an instant. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. They saw the Lord's judgment and they glorified him. They don't trust in him. They fear at his power because the judgment of the Lord has come. And then we come here in further in chapter 11, verse number 15. And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. See, it's no longer going to be an appointed leader by God. It's going to be Jesus. He is King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Don't look to overthrow him. He'll never be overthrown. Don't look to take over when he dies. He will never die. And the 24 elders which sat before the throne on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. From the earth it could be seen, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake, a shaking of the earth, and great hail." See, the judgment of the Lord is going to bring a shaking of this earth. "See that you refuse him not that speaketh." And then in chapter 15, we see the seventh vial of the seventh last plagues. Because, see, there's seven vials that come out of these trumpets, out of this last trumpet. And this is the judgment of God upon the earth and the nations, the man of sin, the unholy Trinity, and Satan. Chapter 15, verse 1. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Chapter 16. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying unto the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out your vials of wrath upon the earth. The first went in verse number 2. The second went in verse number 3. The third went in verse number 4. The fourth angel poured out his vial in verse number 8. The fifth angel poured out his vial in verse number 10. The sixth angel poured out his vial in verse number 12. Verse 17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial, the vial that carried the wrath of God Almighty for the earth. He poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake." You ready? "Such as not since men were upon the earth." So of all these earthquakes that have been before, they've been great and they've been fearful, from what's been mentioned at Sinai to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to these different points and aspects of judgment, the revealing of the Lamb and His judgment and the seven sealed book of judgment and the trumpets and the vials, the woes and all those things. This earthquake is the greatest. "There was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts," that is Jerusalem, "and the cities of the nations, they collapsed, they fell. And great Babylon, the other way," there's God's way and the other way, "and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away." The islands are gone. "And the mountains were not found." The mountains are flattened. This becomes one flat earth. I'm not talking about flat earth doctrine, okay? I'm talking about on the globe, all the mountains were laid flat. It's very much what the Lord tells us quickly. Let me read this for you in Isaiah 40. This is the answer to it. "Every valley," Isaiah 44, "every valley shall be exalted," means brought up, "and every mountain and hill shall be made low," brought down, "and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain," This is the answer of that. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone, though about the weight of a talent, which is, if we understand it correctly, what a man could carry for a day, 60 to 120 pounds. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. You know why they do? Because they're depraved. Because they hate Him. They have not the Spirit moving in them. They will not yield. They love their sin more than they love even the great power and showing of God. Because the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The shaking of the Lord. As we can see in these passages, the Lord Jesus has and will shake all things as promised. In the verses from the book of Hebrews, we see that revealed. He said He has and He will. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. We saw how heaven, the sky was rolled back as a scroll, and men were actually able to see into heaven. But why will He do this? Well, there in Hebrews 27, we're told why. He tells us plainly. This word, and this word, yet once more, that He's going to, it signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Will the kingdom of the Antichrist be able to stand? No, not if the shaking of the Lord is going to be taken out of the way. Will the buildings built by men and the great structures of men be able to stand? No. Will all the mountains and everything that were created, that we understand the topography of the earth as it is today, are a result of the flood, which is a result of the sin of man. Will any of that be able to stand? No. Nothing will be able to stand. It'll be taken away. Will the defiance and the multi-billion and nuclear energy and everything that the Lord has allowed man to amass and create, will that be able to stand before God? None of it. None of it will stand before Him. But now as promised, yes, once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. The yet once more signifies, verse 27 of Hebrews 12, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken. If it can be shaken, it's going to be taken out. As of things that are made. Made by men, corrupted by men, ruined by men. They're going to be shaken, they're going to be taken away, and those things that cannot be shaken are going to be proved, and that's what's going to remain. Those things that cannot be shaken are going to remain. The Lord will do so in judgment, and those things that are not able to be shaken, He will take, or those things that are able to be shaken, He'll take out of the way, and they will be no more forever. But those things that are eternal, that cannot be shaken, will remain forever. And what is there that cannot be shaken? Only those things accomplished and built by the Lord. Can His church be shaken? No. Can His salvation and rescue of sinners, of His people, His children be shaken? No. None of that can be shaken. It is steadfast in our Lord. As long as He stands, we stand in Him. So it genders the question, have you been saved by Him? Do you know this same Jesus that will shake heaven and earth in days to come? Do you know Him as your Lord and your Savior, the Savior of your soul? As it says there in Hebrews 12:25, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh. Don't refuse. No one escapes. No one escapes, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. Where do you think it was that John saw the Lord Jesus there amongst the candlesticks and giving His revelation unto John? He's spoken unto us from heaven. As it says in this book of Hebrews, the Lord, God Almighty, has spoken to us in days past, spoken to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. Don't refuse Him that has spoken. Child of God, walk humbly with your Savior. Child of God, wayward and backslidden, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to him. Sinner, dead in trespasses and in sins, repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, he spoke plainly. He declares it plainly. He commands it plainly. The command of God from glory unto you. In Mark 1, 14 and 15, in the day of the Lord's ministry, John was put in prison and Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that speaks from heaven to you. Be reconciled to God before the great and final shaking by our Lord. If it's not of the Lord, it won't stand in that day. But if it is of the Lord, it will stand forever.